Welcome to Out of Bounds. I'm Tish Perlman. My guest is Robin Tropper Herbal. Tropper Herbal is executive director of the Community School of Music and Arts in Ithaca, New York. She holds a BFA from the Art Studio at the University of New Mexico at Albuquerque and a BA in biology from Cornell University. Prior to her appointment to CSMA, she was executive director of the Humane Society in Hayes, Kansas, and was project director and systems change specialist for an organization called Living Independently in Northwest Kansas. She has been the executive director of the Community School of Music and Arts since January of 2007. And welcome to the show.
Thank you.
I want to talk about the history, of course, of this incredible institution. It began as a children's music school. Tell us a little bit more about its beginnings.
Sure. CSMA was founded in 1960, literally in the living room of these two visionary founders, Eunice and Clayton Weber, and the parents of young music students. And it incorporated in 1960, and gradually the organization has grown. It was founded as the Ithaca Community Music School. And it was not until 1976 that we changed our name to Community School of Music and Arts to reflect our broadened scope of multiple arts disciplines.
Mm-hmm. Did it start out as a school just for kids? What was the age parameter?
Literally, it was for kindergartners and around that age.
Really?
So very tiny in the founder's living room and, you know, eventually moved from building to building, always downtown. We were in the fabulous Witten House for quite a while on South Hill. And in 1998, we moved to our present location, just one block east of the Commons, and we bought the building in 2002. So we've been settled in for a while now.
Yeah, it gives you a lot of freedom to do which, mm-hmm. exactly what you want. I was fascinated when I started reading about the history that it was once a speakeasy and a nightclub and a bowling alley.
Indeed.
That's so amazing, and it still reflects some of those transformations, it seems.
Yeah, it's one of those historic buildings that's been so many things, and it still is. I mean, you know, we have four tenants in the building, four commercial tenants, other nonprofits, architecture firms. So, you know, there's always been a great synergy in the building, and it's just one of those buildings we hope stays up forever downtown, you know, as downtown continues to grow. And we're just proud to be, like, this hub for lots of people doing all sorts of creative things in the building.
Yeah, it's so important. It's so important for the identity of a community, it seems to me. Now tell us what the original mission was of the community school.
Yeah, well, as I mentioned, I mean, originally it started out as a music school for very young children and gradually evolved, you know, gradually started offering classes in other arts disciplines. And so now we offer programs in music, visual arts, dance, theater, sometimes literary arts, classes, lessons, ensembles, and so much more for all ages, not just kids. And that's very important. We want everybody to understand that about half our students are adults.
Yeah, I was actually surprised to learn. I learned that a while back, but when you think about a school, you think it's going to be for younger people.
Yeah, it's a community-based school. It's sort of, it's for fun, it's for recreation, but it's also a place to germinate your interest in an art form or art forms.
Uh-huh. But were you always interested in the arts? I know your trajectory in your career has been to be a director of different kinds of organizations. Well, where did the arts come in for you?
Yeah, I always have been. I've been a person who's always gravitated towards the arts and towards the sciences simultaneously as a child and growing up. And, you know, I got my first college degree in science, but then went back and got a second degree in art studio and gradually got into nonprofit administration. And so having the position at CSMA really is a perfect synthesis for me of all my interests and sort of, you know, an artsy way of thinking combined with analytical thinking and you know, all those skills combined.
And then the arts and sciences do intersect, especially in our culture with so many people with different disciplines coming into their careers.
Yeah, I mean, it's so important to break down barriers like that, you know, these sort of binary ideas, art versus science. And so, you know, again, CSMA exemplifies like this spirit of combining lots of different practices and ages and encouraging ways that people can come together in one building to collaborate and nurture their various arts interests.
You know, I've talked to a lot of people in this community, and a lot of people do sort of mourn the thought that the generations don't come together anymore. You know, it's the older people over in this place and mm-hmm. the kids are over here. And this school seems to bring all the generations together in one way or another.
Absolutely. I mean, make no mistake. I mean, we have classes that are age appropriate for very young kids.
Of course.
But then we do offer classes where teens and young adults may learn an art form together with adults. So it's truly exciting. And then there are all the interactions that go on outside the studio spaces themselves, in the lobby and at events. And it's always exciting to learn about collaborations and artists of different styles and in different disciplines and media. I love learning about collaborations.
Yeah, I know. And I know how that can spark people. Creative people can get sparked by
so
new
important.
Thoughts from different disciplines. Now, one of the things on your website is the belief that the arts are an essential part of human nature. To talk to us a little bit more about that. Is it as if, you know, you're born with this need for the arts, do you think?
I don't know. I mean, I think humans have amazing potential to be creative. You know, and whether a person chooses to pursue it in terms of a visual art or music or dance, or whether they apply that urge for creativity in other ways and other applications, whether it's the scientists or a design field. I mean, I think we are born with an innate quality to pursue creativity, and that's where brilliant things happen in the world. I think also, you know, very devastating things, in my opinion, in the world are an outcome of creativity and how humans choose to use it, whether
yes.
for the greater good or not. You know, we hope it's for the greater good, but
yeah, creativity can bring evil into the world too.
I
mean,
have
nuclear power and some of the scientists and the designers that worked on that.
You bet, but I think that innate curiosity and creativity, we're born with that. And it's a matter of nurturing and pursuing what one is interested in.
And then in the case of kids have to have some kind of an atmosphere where they find the spark. You know, they have to be encouraged.
Kids find the spark, but it's never too late. So I think that oftentimes people just sort of feel that the arts are less important than other pursuits and postpone their interests. And so CSMA is a great place where one can start at a beginning level in any art form at any age.
Yeah.
You know, whether it's in a class environment, one of our classes in our studios, or taking private music lessons.
Yeah, it sounds like a safe place, whatever road you want to take.
It truly is. I myself, as an adult, began studying violin, and it's probably more difficult as an adult in some ways, more challenging, but yet, you know, in many ways, extremely fulfilling.
Oh, I'll bet. It can enrich your life in ways that you probably don't even know until you start pursuing it.
And studies show in so many, you know, scientific studies and other studies demonstrate the importance of pursuing creativity throughout life.
Yeah.
And the benefits of practicing creative work as we age. There's a creative aging movement internationally, and you know, we certainly support that.
Yeah. No, I've heard people talk about how creativity will keep your brain going, keep you interested in the world. Now, before we start talking about specific programs, I wanted to ask you, how do you hire instructors? What's the criterion? To tell us about how people end up getting connected and teaching there.
Well, our instructors are all working artists and professionals locally. So many of them are affiliated with the universities in town. Many are people who've studied and graduated in the graduate programs locally. So everyone who teaches with us is a professional locally.
In whatever discipline.
In whatever discipline. And, you know, most have graduate degrees and, you know, extensive experience.
Yeah.
So, you know, many people who are interested in becoming part of our faculty come to us, or, you know, we seek people out depending on what needs we have to fill.
But you keep experience in mind, too. It doesn't necessarily have to be somebody with a PhD in piano or something, right?
It's experience, teaching experience as a working and practicing
artist.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Yeah, I find that really important. Because a lot of people don't have the opportunity to work in an environment like this unless they do get a higher degree.
Yeah, and it's an important opportunity for artists. It provides work for artists that sort of rounds out the other forms of income that they're often piecing together.
I know, exactly,
you know,
exactly. Artists have a hard time making a living, and of course, teaching has always been one of the places where people turn to. Now, are any of these classes, do you get credits? If you did want to pursue it along the
lines
of academia?
They're completely for one's own personal growth. So there's no college credit. There's no
You don't get
other
a certificate that you pass the class?
Nope, there's no degree. It's really just for personal growth and creative development.
Wow. Oh, that's I think that's very interesting. So you really have to want to do this. Now, the community uses your facilities for performance and community-based, activities. How does that work? Do people just call you and rent it? How does that work?
Yeah, in addition to all of our instructional programs, we have various spaces that we avail to community groups and individuals for all kinds of events. Mostly they turn out to be arts events, groups that want to organize their own concerts, performances, gala events for other nonprofits, but also things like gatherings and meetings, parties, and rehearsals, auditions, rehearsals, film shoots, you name it. We have spaces and that's an important part of the role we serve in our community.
Yeah, I know, when I think of the school, I never think that there probably are private parties and gatherings going on at the school, but I'm sure there are.
Occasionally, things like weddings or parties for special occasions, but, primarily it's other arts events. So, for example, student groups from, Ithaca College, for example, might want to utilize our space for, rehearsing a play and then having performances. Other independent arts groups, independent theater groups, for example, heavily utilize our spaces for rehearsals, auditions, and performances. So, those are just a few examples.
Oh, it's such a great community resource. That's in a lot of communities, that's what's missing, right? There isn't a place for everybody to be able to share in it.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so summer's coming right up, and I know you guys have tons of summer programs. Let's talk about some of them. You have art for teens and adults. You've got dance. Let's talk about some of the specific programs.
Yeah. Well, CSMA, we run our programs in four terms, sort of like academic terms, fall, winter, spring, and summer. So we are approaching summer term, and we offer our usual menu of classes for various ages and various art forms that typically meet weekly, from anywhere from 4 to, 6 or 8 weeks over the summer. But we're also offering our summer arts camps for kids and teens.
And what does that mean, arts camps? What's exactly happening?
It's like day camps. So, we're like a camp to send, kids. We have four different camps. One is geared for 6 to 9-year-olds. It's called Arts All Around You. And we are offering 9 different weeks of that program. Each one is based on a different theme. And it's really great. The kids, get classes in art, music, dance, theater. They go out on field trips to museums and to see plays. And they go out to parks. And it's just great. And the excellence is there, but it's mixed in with the fun.
If you're just joining us, my guest is Robin Trooper Herbal, and she is the executive director of the Community School of Music and Arts in Ithaca, New York. Talk to us about some of the dance clubs. You teach hip-hop, jazz, tap. And how much are you involved in some of these things? Are you overseeing this and watching it and having a blast watching people learn these things?
Well, it's always a blast to, see what's going on in the building at all times of day. So much going on, so many different art forms happening simultaneously. My role is to oversee the whole thing and to be heavily involved in fundraising. It is a 501c3 not-for-profit, so that's super important. But just to sort of pull it all together and make it work, to combine our educational offerings with events such as Gallery Night and our own performances that we organize together with other community groups, as I mentioned, as we host their events in our spaces.
Mm-hmm. And how much do you coordinate with the community in regard to, we don't want to have this event here because there's this big thing happening at the library? Did you coordinate with the community in regard to arts events?
Well, we think about that when we're organizing our own events. Mm-hmm. The beauty of living in Ithaca is there's no shortage of arts events and other
constant events.
That's just, the exciting thing about living and working here. But as far as hosting other events that other groups produce and organize, it's on them, so we welcome them at any time that they think is a good time to to organize a performance or an event.
Yeah, yeah. Now, I know you take people on field trips to museums and movie theaters and parks. To tell us a little something about that. Does each instructor decide where they're going to go, and do you have to okay it and make sure the kids are safe and that kind of thing?
Yeah. I mean, that's relevant mostly to this camp program, Arts All Around You, we were talking about, and it's pretty fun. The kids take the TCAT, and it's all part of the program. And, you know, we obviously take lots of safety precautions and have lots of adults and counselors and chaperones. So some of our regular classes for adults do go outside in the summer. For example, this summer we'll be offering outdoor painting in pastels for adults on Saturday morning. So, you know, taking advantage of our beautiful summer weather and the landscapes around us, the instructor will take, they'll go just on walking trips. And we're offering another class as well that goes outdoors this summer, drawing cityscapes, taught by Kevin Mayer, who's an incredible painter. So they'll just be walking. It's all in walking distance from CSMA.
That's great. I love that.
We love to take advantage
outside,
the summer weather to make art.
You know what I was going to ask you, too? Is it normal procedure for when somebody teaches, like, jazz or modern dance or something, that the class will end with a performance for the community often, or is that not one of the criteria?
Call it a criteria, but the teachers welcome the opportunities to perform. So, in fact, I'm glad you brought that up. This weekend, the weekend of June 13th, we will be showcasing some of the performances by some of our students from the spring term, which has just ended. So on Saturday the 13th, we'll be showcasing, we call it a music share. So our private lesson music students, most of them will be performing 1 p.m. on Saturday, June 13th. So it's a great chance to give a listen to some of the work our music students have been doing. And then later in the day at 3, we'll be offering a dance showcase, and this is in our third floor performance space, Martha Hamblin Hall. So, yeah, we'll be featuring some numbers from our hip-hop class, dance, modern, ballet. So great way to kind of see what we do at CSMA Dance.
And I'm sure there are things going on all summer, too, obviously.
Yeah, and we do these showcases and music shares each term. So, if people don't catch this one, they can catch another one.
You know, I wanted to ask you, too, when somebody wants to sign up for a class, obviously it costs for them to go. But do you offer scholarships for some of the people in the community who might not be able to afford to take the class?
Yeah, we sure do. I mean, the tuition or the fee for the classes is already fairly affordable for most people, but we're part of our mission all along has been to ensure that the arts are accessible to everyone in the community. I mean, that's just, you know, at the core of our very mission. So we have what's called the Arts for All scholarship program, and it's based on need. So that's open to anyone who's interested in, you know, taking any of our instructional programs. It's a very easy application, and so we offer tuition discounts based on need.
Oh, that's great. That's
and we
great.
Also offer discounts to seniors and veterans, too, just for the asking.
Oh, that's great. Oh, that really makes it certain that the community can be involved no matter what. Now, I know you've got a class called Musical Theater Skills and Drills. Talk to us about that. I find that really, Holly Adams is one of the instructors for that.
Yeah, that's another one of our camp programs, I'll call it. And so it's a one-week intensive, just kind of an opportunity for kids, youth ages 10 through 16 to hone their musical theater skills with Holly Adams, Liz Livesey, and Doreen Olson, sort of each taking on different aspects in musical theater, acting, singing, and dancing. And that sort of ties in with another camp of ours, Star Search, which is a full-blown putting together an entire musical in 2 weeks.
Wow.
So that's the next section in our musical theater camps at the end of August.
And so people actually have to audition for that, too?
No. I mean, there's no auditions. Anyone can be in it. All the youth who participate get equal roles in it. So
how interesting.
Yeah, and they really work as a creative team. So, everybody gets kind of an equal opportunity.
I bet it's so fun with no pressure that you have to.
Really fun.
You have to try out and maybe be you know, yeah. cut from the cast. Now, Todd, I just read recently about the circus school that's coming here. And you guys are affiliated with that, right?
Well, we were. So, well, so Amy has been offering circus classes at CSMA for the past couple years. Mm. So she has now branched off into her own school. And, you know, so we're very excited for her about that. But, you know,
but
she's setting out on her own.
It started with you guys.
Yeah.
So people will remember that it started with you guys.
Yep.
Now, if somebody has an idea for a class or something, they bring it to you and you go through some kind of a process with a board that decides whether you're going to pursue it? How does that happen?
Yeah, I mean, there are various ways. I mean, you know, we offer the fundamentals in all the arts disciplines sort of on an ongoing basis, basic painting, basic drawing, you know, intro to ballet, tap, modern dance, hip hop, for example. But we are always open to unique ideas that teaching artists bring to us. So, you know, we try to figure out what is it that the community wants to take. What is it that people will, you know, come and learn at CSMA?
Yeah. I mean, what are they interested in actually pursuing? You do have to make sure that these people really are qualified to teach some of this stuff, though, right? I mean, how do you do that unless somebody's well-known like a Holly Adams? We've all known her and seen her perform.
Yeah, our program director goes through an extensive process of you know, obviously reviewing artists' resumes and backgrounds and experience. And observing them teaching. So, you know, it's a fairly extensive process to ensure that people have a chance to learn from top-notch artists.
Yeah. No, I'm glad to hear that.
Such a wealth of talent here locally.
And there are also a lot of people who want to get involved with things that you know, I mean, I get a lot of stuff through my office to try to be on the show, and I have criterion, right? You have to really publish a book. You have to really have a CD, you know. So in some ways, you do have to have a criterion because there are so many people who want to be on TV and want to be on radio and want to, you know.
Sure, yeah. I mean, we don't have rigid criteria such as that, but, you know, it's sort of, but we do vet, you know, people's credentials, you know, quite extensively.
Yeah, I was wondering about that. I mean, it sounds like the whole idea is a fun project, but
it's fun.
You do have to make sure people know what they're doing, right?
They know what they're doing, that they're working artists, practicing artists, and also that they have teaching experience.
You know, I want to ask you too, how does the private instruction come about? I mean, people call the school and you know people that want to do private and they arrange to do it in their homes. So how do you watch that?
Yeah,
process.
Great question. Actually, all of the private lessons take place at CSMA.
Ah.
Yeah, so we have a list of private instructions in various instruments and plus voice. And so people can call us or contact us expressing interest in taking music lessons, and our program director will refer them to an appropriate teacher in the instrument that they're interested in. And it all takes place at CSMA.
I also wanted to ask you this. I mean, it sounds like kind of a laid-back project in many ways. When I have been in the schools, there's sometimes problems with discipline with kids. How do the teachers and the people at the school deal with kids who might be misbehaving or disrupting the class? What's the instruction on that?
Well, again, about half of our students are kids and the other half are adults. So hopefully the adults...
Adults are making sure the kids are staying in line.
Our teachers are experienced instructors, so you know, it hasn't been that much of an issue that I know of. But you know, if there are major problems, we you know, try to work it out with the parents and, you know, to address the problem so it's not disruptive to the other students.
And I would think an atmosphere like that would be good for some kids who don't want to have to sit rigidly in a classroom, that there is more freedom for them to explore their thoughts and ideas.
Oh, yeah, and it's often an outlet for kids who you know, who may have behavior issues in other sorts of settings. So the classes for kids are fairly short in terms of the weekly classes. And then the camps, the all-day summer camps, are so interesting and diverse and fun, and they're having so much fun while they're learning the arts and gaining a unique and enriching experience.
So they must really be interested. So the classes that are happening during the week, are they usually after school for the kids? Is that what the hours are?
Yeah, our peak hours of busyness are from 3:30 on and into the evening. Again, so for the convenience of adults too, although we do have some classes that take place on weekdays during the daytime. Mm-hmm. And we offer many classes on Saturdays in the mornings and afternoons. And then private lessons can be almost any time that's arranged between the student and the teacher.
And also, do you coordinate with any of the local schools in regard to the kids being able to get down to the community school, or do the parents, it's up to the parents to make sure?
Yeah, it's really on an individual basis. Okay. So, but that's a great idea.
But there's no buses that will bring kids down to the community school?
No, not at this point. It's a good idea, though.
I was thinking it would be a good idea to bring the community, a way to bring the community. Mm-hmm. It seems to me that there's a real disrespect for the arts in our culture right now. How are you guys addressing that, and how concerned are you about that? As we were talking, it's important for people's enrichment and their culture.
Well, I'm not sure what you mean by a disrespect for the arts.
Well, a lot of people are cutting arts out of the schools and not handing out funding. Governments don't seem to think the arts are very important. That's what I meant by disrespect. And to me, it really does feel like a disrespect for the arts. So how are you guys addressing that? You guys are in the forefront of trying to keep something like this alive.
Yeah, it's a real challenge, that the school districts in particular are faced with, severe funding issues. And we surely don't agree that the arts are the first place to look towards to cut because, because of all the evidence and just from what our knowledge that the arts benefit children and people throughout their lives in all subjects that they study. Mm. And we especially encourage incorporation of the arts in all subject studies. So when the arts are brought into, for example, history lessons, or even math lessons, it's been found to be very effective. So, I see what you're saying. It does feel a little disrespectful, or perhaps, misunderstanding what the arts do, and that it's not only an inherent quality that we're born with, but it's essential.
And it also helps to shape people, is what I've always thought, too, especially in regard to how to collaborate.
How to gaining self-confidence to either perform or to show one's work in a public setting, if one's a visual artist, collaboration in terms of, group performances. One great thing, we live in Ithaca, and I think that this community itself truly understands how people can wear lots of different hats, and that their hat as an artist can complement so very well, the hats they may wear in their occupations, in their day jobs.
Exactly. Yeah, I know so many people have these cross jobs and in creative worlds and stuff.
So, but just to address your question about the cuts in the schools, it makes our role in the community all the more important that places like CSMA exist to complement, what children are learning in the schools, which is kind of shrinking and shrinking in terms of the arts and extracurricular programs.
Yeah, exactly.
So we have the Ithaca Children's Choir. We have other ensembles, private lessons, and classes.
Mm-hmm. That's great. That's great. Contact information if somebody wants to get in touch with you.
Sure. Our phone number is 607-272-1474. Of course, our website, csma-ithaca.org, Facebook page, and stop by 330 East Martin Luther King Jr. Street, State Street,
in
downtown
Ithaca. That's great. Well, Robin Trooper Herbel, thank you so much for joining us. Again, I've been talking to the Executive Director of the Community School of Music and Arts in Ithaca, New York. Thank you.
Thank you. My pleasure.
Our audio producer is Nate Richardson at Rep Studio in Ithaca, New York. Our theme music was composed by Diego Vega. And we are a sponsored project of the New York Foundation for the Arts. Tax-deductible donations are welcome at artspire.org. That's artspire.org. And visit us online at outofboundsradioshow.com. I'm Tish Perlman. We'll be back next week.